From the Carver Center for Public Radio, this is Ozarks at Large for May 17th, 2013. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Support for Ozarks at Large comes in part from the University of Arkansas's Women's Giving Circle. KUAF is supported by Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art, featuring American Chronicles, The Art of Norman Rockwell, on exhibit until May 27th. The museum opens at 11 a.m. daily, except Tuesdays. Tickets and information about Rockwell-related programming is available online at crystalbridges.org.
Head on Ozarks, Carter Sampson plays with Caleb Rose inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio. Sona stretches its sold-out concert streak to four. And in a few minutes, our regular Friday conversation with Michael Tilley from thecitywire.com.
First, Congressman Tim Griffin of Arkansas will be among lawmakers with questions today for the top IRS official who resigned this week amid a scandal over increased scrutiny of conservative groups. Griffin is a member of the House Ways and Means Committee, which former Acting Commissioner Stephen Miller is scheduled to testify before.
There are a lot of facts yet to be determined, and a lot of questions that folks are going to have about who knew what and when did they know it and what actions were taken. I think this is just the beginning of getting to the bottom of this.
Griffin, a Republican from Little Rock, says he's not going to prejudge the situation, but says a lot of upset constituents have contacted his office. President Obama demanded and received Miller's resignation Wednesday. Griffin says he wants to know who else may have known that conservative groups were being singled out to determine if any official should be fired or prosecuted.
A bite-sized film festival is coming to Eureka Springs next month. Jacqueline Wolven, the director of the Eureka Springs Downtown Network, says the 5-Minute Film Fest will be part of the monthly Fun After Five event on the fourth Friday.
And in June, we are focusing on film. So the idea is that filmmakers, both novice and professional, can create a film that's less than 5 minutes, including credits, and submit it to the festival. As long as they're family-friendly, they'll all be shown.
Wolven says although the fest has only been announced for a few days, she has received quite a bit of feedback from potential participants.
We've gotten a lot of calls and a lot of emails from people who are interested in the concept. They want to know if it was a film that they created before, if it fits in the time frame, could it be submitted? And the answer is yes. Right now, the rule is that you have to have someone who lives in Arkansas be affiliated with the film, either the director or the actors or something. Somebody has to be from Arkansas. We had a lot of calls from outside the areas asking to be in, but we decided to have some sort of geographic boundary.
For instructions on submitting a video, you can go to eurekaspringsdowntown.com/film-fest.
Arkansas drivers can expect to pay lower prices for gas this month as figures have taken a plunge from April's inflated numbers. The U.S. Department of Labor says the drop in price to a statewide average of $3.38 per gallon even caused a 0.4% dip in the Consumer Price Index. Mike Wright of the AAA Auto Club says while the decrease is being felt statewide, neighboring areas are experiencing price fluctuations that could come to Arkansas next month.
Missourians are now paying on average significantly more. They're at $3.62 a gallon, and they're much higher than where they were the same time last year.
The annual rate of inflation is also at its lowest since 2011, and statistics indicate consumer prices remain at their lowest since 2008.
The Arkansas School for Mathematics, Sciences, and the Arts in Hot Springs is upping its efforts to graduate students with college credit. The high school aims to finalize a new concurrent curriculum that, upon graduation, will leave students with up to 40 hours of college credit. Director Corey Alderai says the new program enhances the school's mission.
For many of these students, it's the first time they're around other people who get as excited about math and science as they do. So it's a tremendous living and learning community where school really doesn't just stop at the end of the class day.
The school's goal of fostering interest in scientific careers will help to boost the state's workforce in the engineering and technology sectors.
The Region 4 headquarters for the Arkansas Highway Transportation Department has moved from Fort Smith to Barling. The new offices open today at the district headquarters complex, located on roughly 40 acres of Chaffee Crossing, deeded to the State Highway Commission in 2002. Located at the complex are the district's various engineers and permit officers. And the new complex also includes a resident engineer office, materials lab, facilities for area maintenance and bridge inspection crews, and an office for the District 3 commander of the State Highway Police. The $12.5 million facility took 5.5 years to complete and replaces the former headquarters on Townsend Avenue, which served as district headquarters since 1959.
Razorback baseball team last night opened up their final series of the regular season. Arkansas lost to Auburn 3-0. The loss drops Arkansas's record to 34-18 overall, 17-10 in SEC play. The series continues tonight in Auburn, Alabama. And the Northwest Arkansas Naturals last night closed the series against the Arkansas Travelers the same way it played the rest of the series. Nats lost 2-0, making it the fifth loss in a row for the team. Team's season record now 13-25. The Nats return home to Arvest Ballpark tomorrow night after playing one more on the road tonight in Tulsa.
Partly cloudy tonight with lows from 63 in northwest Arkansas to 69 in the Arkansas River Valley. Mostly sunny with highs from 86 in northwest Arkansas to 90 in the Arkansas River Valley tomorrow. And tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low of 68 degrees.
This is Ozarks at Large for a Friday. With me on the phone as he travels through Johnson County is Michael Tilley, the city editor, the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com. Michael, how are you?
I'm doing well, and I'm traveling through areas. I hope we don't lose our connection.
This is kind of a homecoming for you. That's near around where you grew up, right?
Right, just a little north. I'm just an old Johnson County farm boy.
An interesting article you've posted this week about Whirlpool and a well ban, and who knew what when.
Yes, it's I forget who said this gets curiouser and curiouser, but here we go with this. And, you know, Whirlpool, we've had all kinds of stories from Whirlpool and from city government about when this began. And just by way of background, what this is there's a pollutant called TCE, and I'm not going to try to say the word that stands for, but it's a nasty little chemical that cancer, and it can even break down into something called vinyl chloride, which is even nastier. And it's apparently seeped out from the former Whirlpool manufacturing plant there in Fort Smith, and so the issue is how much of it is out there, how large an area, how dangerous is it, moving, where's it? I mean, there's just so many unanswered questions. And back in June of 2012, Whirlpool just tried to get the city of Fort Smith to pass this little ordinance, try to get it under the radar, to try to protect, you know, their corporate interests and really not protect the interests of the residents. And it's funny, the main part of that story, we talk about how the Whirlpool attorney, Robert Chase, from there in Fayetteville, said, hey, you know, if you'll just do this, this will probably be satisfactory. And he admits in his letter, says, now, we haven't contacted ADEQ, the Arkansas Department of Environmental Quality, but we think they'll be satisfied with this. So city officials thankfully had the presence of mind to call ADEQ, and the ADEQ folks are like, no, we don't even know who Robert Jones is, and we're not sure we'd be satisfied with that at all. So it just goes to the chutzpah of Whirlpool, of what they're willing to try to push through, and it's just further proof that they bear watching in all of this. I mean, if they if they told me that the sun came up in the east, I'd probably still get up just to check.
Where now? Where now? Because there is still this contamination problem. Whirlpool is gone.
Well, that's the question. You know, Aaron Brockovich's firm has come in, and they've said that they've conducted some independent testing. We hope to get some results back from that. We've been trying to contact them. ADEQ and Whirlpool are apparently working on a plan, and that's another interesting point. Whirlpool told city officials here recently that they had submitted their plan to ADEQ and just waiting for ADEQ to, you know, sign off or whatever. Well, the truth was ADEQ had sent some points back to Whirlpool and said, you know, please work on these issues and then get back to us. So, again, Whirlpool wasn't exactly forthcoming on the process. But the best we can tell is that the city of Fort Smith is waiting on Whirlpool and ADEQ to agree to some type of mitigation plan. And, you know, Kyle, what we don't know is what that may or may not do in terms of the property owner's interest there. You know, is there some procedure to buy them out? Because essentially their value is now zero. I mean, if you're sitting on a toxic plume, who is going to buy your property?
This is the first time I'm going to bring up the gubernatorial race in 2014 by saying someone's not running. Davey Carter has announced via an email statement that he will not seek the Republican nomination.
Right, and this is I think the official line for Mr. Carter, and I haven't seen the news this morning, but we knew it was coming out. There's some of us reporters were talking yesterday, but and Jason Tolbert with Roby Brock's Talk Business website had something on it. But the official line Carter's going to put out is that Mike Ross, who's running as Democrat, and Asa Hutchinson, who's running as Republican, and Bill Halter, to some extent, who's also a Democrat, have already soaked up a lot of money. They've already captured a lot of the commitments from groups and from some of the political influencers in Arkansas. And, you know, it's just not, there's not enough room to get in now. It's, you know, it's almost too late to play. But he also, I think he's going to go back to a private sector job that's going to pay him well. And he'll, I mean, obviously he'll still be Speaker of the House through, you know, through 2014, but he's out, and I don't think he's out though forever.
Oh, he's a young man.
Yes, and he proved a lot of us and some of us in the media wrong. I mean, when he had that coup d'etat, so to speak, against Terry Rice of Waldron. You know, Terry was the de facto Speaker of the House, and the last minute Davey pulled together an overthrow, and has managed the House. He managed the House well. The first Republican Speaker, you know, in 180 or however since Reconstruction. And so he, by all accounts, everyone thinks he did a great job, is politically astute, great strategy, helps bring people together, knows how to build some collaborative teams. And so I don't think he's finished. And I wouldn't be surprised if 2018, if we see a Senate race or AG race or a governor's race, he'll have some kind of future in Arkansas politics still.
Now that we have five people announced, you have former Lieutenant Governor Bill Halter, former Congressman Mike Ross seeking the Democratic nomination. You have former Congressman Asa Hutchinson. You have Curtis Coleman and State Representative Deborah Hobbs of Rogers seeking the GOP. Do you think we might have the full slate of candidates?
Wow. You know, I would hate to predict that. Since it's an open election, you know, Governor Beebe is not up. There could be one or two more come late summer after July 4th, that type of thing. I just think there's still some folks who say, you know, why not? I may not win, but this is a good way to start building name ID for future races. But if you want to get in now, you better have some money. You better have a good message. You better have some confidence that you can pull it off. Ross and Halter and Hutchinson do have a lot of commitments already in the bag, have a lot of money, either money in the bag or money committed, and it's going to be tough to break in and peel some of those folks off.
Michael Tilley is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com. He's driving through Johnson County safely. Michael, we'll talk to you next Friday.
All right. Good talking to you, Kyle.
Hello, I'm Robert Ginsburg, your host for Shades of Jazz every Friday and Saturday night beginning at 10 p.m. On this Friday edition of Shades of Jazz, we'll hear music from a Little Rock native, one of the great tenor saxophonists, John Stubblefield, and also from New Orleans, Irvin Mayfield and the New Orleans Jazz Orchestra, Cannonball Adderley, Bill Evans, Doug Sides, and much more. That's this Friday at 10 p.m. on Shades of Jazz.
Schools all over the area are winding down the conventional school year. Yesterday, at Immaculate Conception Elementary School in downtown Fort Smith, one group of students was wrapping up an end-of-year session just before the day's final bell. The last day of classes at Immaculate Conception is a week from today. For some students in Fort Smith and elsewhere, Summer camps may be on the agenda in the next few months. This week on Ozarks, we've highlighted a few of the camps in the region, and we end our series today with a camp in July at Immaculate Conception Elementary School.
It's all about creating, putting things together. I call it creative, cooperative problem solving.
Ann Cannon is the director of curriculum at the school. She also serves as the director of this summer's Camp Invention at Immaculate Conception. There are camp inventions all over the country. The concept began in Ohio in 1990. Now there are more than 1,200. The camp is actually six different camps at once, one specific camp each for children entering grades 1 through 6 next fall. Ann Cannon says that format assures campers they'll do something different every summer.
The first year is Create, and it's all about Planet Zach. And they had to, the favorite that year was they had to build a roller coaster. They had the foam tubes that we cut in half, and we tape it to the wall. And they had a little marble that they had to go through, and it had to have loops, and it was really fun. That was the funnest, that was the most fun module of that year.
This year's Camp Invention theme revolves around geography and will include geocaching exercises, atlas games, and building projects. One such undertaking will have rubber ducks launched into the air. Students will be attempting to get their duck to specific countries.
The term, as soon as they learn that they're going to build a duck chucking device, that I think is going to grab them. And that every year they have the I Can Invent module. And that is where they bring an old device, a VCR, something, a take apart. We call it a take apart item. And they bring that every year. And they put something together. They take it apart. We learn about gears. We learn about levers. And we learn about all the working parts and how it goes. And the older kids are encouraged to make a Rube Goldberg machine.
Younger students also get to take apart an old VCR or machine as well. Ann says sometimes the thrill for them is just finding out what's inside a contraption that makes it do its job. There are lessons learned about the physics of velocity and trajectory while sending rubber ducks into orbit. There will be lessons learned about geography and cultures around the world. But it is summer.
And every day we have a theme so that the kids come the next day with Wacky Hair Day, What's the Inventor Day.
Camp Invention at Immaculate Conception Elementary School is July 8th through the 12th, and each camp day lasts from 9 until 3:30. Participants do not have to attend Immaculate Conception. The only requirement, they have to be preparing to enter grades 1 through 6 next fall. There are other camp inventions in the region. The earliest at Root Elementary in Fayetteville from June 10th through the 14th. The latest from late July into early August in Neosho, Missouri. You can find out more about each of them at campinvention.org. And since this ends our week-long series on camp possibilities in the area, I asked Ann Cannon about the value of summer camps, whether it be Camp Invention, a dance camp, or a visual arts or music camp.
You know, schools, unfortunately, cannot tap every child's interest. They cannot tap, and they can't go deep enough into that interest, even if they do touch it. And so every one of those that you mentioned can help a child explore deeper into their interests, into their gifts. Even if they already have them, it just helps them develop them.
This is Ozarks at Large. It is Friday, May 17th, 2013. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Angela Grada.
And with us once again, Becca Martin Brown, features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Kyle, you have to play along with me.
I will.
We're going to have a little mini segment of Romper Room.
Ah, okay.
What is this?
Predates Antoinette.
It does predate Antoinette.
A lot of things predate me.
Yeah, and actually, to be fair, it probably predates people 10 years older than Antoinette.
Everybody's 10 years older than Antoinette.
At least.
Romper Room has not been a staple on television for quite some time.
Okay, well, the concept of Romper Room was like a playtime for kids.
Okay.
And so this is Miss Becca's romper room. And the teacher on romper room could always see the audience on the other side of the TV.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So since I can see you now, everybody who grew up as an avid reader, raise your hand. I see all your hands. I see Dan's hand and Carla's hand.
This
I see
like
Antoinette's
Blue's
hand. Yes, it's kind of like Blue's Clues.
Okay. On it.
Okay. So that's what's so cool about Books in Bloom.
Ah, Sunday at the Crescent Hotel.
Is that every year you either, as you get older, it's harder to discover, I think, new authors that you like. Because you've read it all. You know, you've read this genre of mystery and you've read, well, this event allows you to discover new authors like Jerusalem Greer.
Who I talked to this week, yes.
Or to meet authors that you're really enamored of, like Craig Johnson.
Who writes Western genre.
The Longmire books.
Yeah.
Or Catherine Coulter.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did a story in What's Up about Jerusalem Greer.
Yeah.
But we also did a Q&A, five questions with Catherine Coulter. Turns out she's really quite a smart aleck.
Oh, yeah?
Ask her how she made the transition from Wall Street speechwriter to novelist.
What'd she say?
Back in the Dark Ages, mm-hmm. right after the Ark landed in New York, I interviewed with the president of an actuarial firm in Wall Street. It turned out that she wrote her first novel when she was 12 about Little Joe Cartwright, who was her hero.
Michael Landon.
And it was maybe 15 pages long. And she grew up to be an author who's had 70,000 books sold.
Wow.
And I asked her, what do you get out of meeting your readers? Meeting readers is more fun than eating chips and guacamole without guilt. They're excited, happy, want to tell me how much they enjoy my books, so what's not to like? She will be at Books in Bloom Sunday afternoon.
Right. It's noon to five, the whole thing.
Noon to five, yes, the whole thing. And she and several of the authors will be speaking, but there'll also be a chance to meet and mingle and get your book signed and buy books. And all of this benefits the Carroll and Madison County Library System.
Which is a great fundraiser for them.
It's a free event, but they get proceeds from it. So go to the Crescent Hotel on Sunday.
Noon to five.
Or go to Eureka Springs tonight before 10 o'clock. Because it's the White Street Studio Walk.
One of the best nights all year round.
If you don't know Zeke Taylor, well, by golly, you will by the end of tonight, because I'm sure you'll meet him. And Eleanor Lux and Mary Springer, 40 guest artists, White Street and Eureka Springs. This weekend, there's a garden trade show sponsored by the Arkansas State Master Gardeners with book signings by Don Denton and everything for spring gardening projects from 9 to noon tomorrow at the Hammond Center in Rogers. Trike Theater is doing a production for preschoolers.
For preschoolers.
Oh, fun.
It's called Jamie Doesn't Want to Take a Bath. And it happens at 9, 10, and 11 tomorrow at their studio space at 209 Northeast 2nd Street in Bentonville. It's $5. Mm. And tomorrow is Art Museum Day at Crystal Bridges.
Right.
I think they're open 14 hours tomorrow.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
seriously.
Extended hours.
Right. 12, I guess. They're open from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m.
Oh, wow.
So it will be a wonderful day.
Yeah.
Once Upon a Mattress is being presented this weekend.
UAFS Academy of the Arts.
2 and 7 o'clock tomorrow and 2 o'clock Sunday at Breedlove Auditorium.
Inspired by Princess and the Pea.
The Women is this weekend.
Final show ever.
For Village Players.
Sad about this.
And I'm sad about this, too. They've done some wonderful things. They're Godspell.
Last year? You've told me about that.
Yeah, cried for an hour. Not because it was bad, because it was wonderful. 7:30 tonight, 7:30 tomorrow night, and 2 o'clock Sunday at White Auditorium at NWAC. Tickets are $8 to $10. And, of course, Sunday is the Block Street Block Party.
On Block Avenue. Thank you, Becca.
Becca Martin-Brown is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me is Paul Haas, who is the conductor with the Symphony of Northwest Arkansas, or SONA. Welcome back.
Thank you, Kyle. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
We are just a few days away from what is the finale for the 2012-2013 season.
Absolutely. This is very exciting. It is our fourth sold-out concert in a row, if you can believe it. It's incredible. We are so excited. We love our audiences. They love us, and they keep coming back, and we keep selling out earlier and earlier, which is just, I mean, if you look at what's happening across the country, we are seriously bucking a trend here.
If Jody Buznoska from Walton Arts Center were here with me, she'd say, but however. if you still want to go, you could show up Saturday night and try to get on a wait list in case something's returned. Yeah,
There is always the chance that someone won't be able to come. And please, if there were a concert you're going to attend in the next couple of days, this would be it.
Because this is a salute to John Williams, who is the most renowned and prolific film composer of our time.
This is true. I mean, ever since the 1970s, you look at any blockbuster movie that has a great soundtrack, it's more likely than not it'll have John Williams as the soundtrack composer. He is incredible. He composed the music for Star Wars, all of the Star Wars movies, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Harry Potter, all the Indiana Jones movies, Jaws, Superman. He even composed music for the Olympics for NBC.
NBC Nightly News.
Nightly News.
Is it John Williams' composition? Yeah.
Da 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 da. That one. I mean, he's done everything. This man is a genius, and he is. It's going to be an amazing concert. You may not know that you know John Williams, but trust me, you know John Williams.
Some of the best use of music in film ever. When you think of music that is wedded to an idea or an image, you might think of, I think it was Bernard Herrmann who did Psycho. Mm,
sure, absolutely. All those Hitchcock movies.
Right. But then John Williams, Jaws? Try imagining Jaws without those musical cues.
Da-dun.
Right?
Da-dun. What if it were da-dee, da-dee?
Right.
Yeah, it wouldn't work as well. He can encapsulate an emotion, and you just heard it, in two notes.
Right.
And then he expands the thing. He grows a little universe out of these little cells that he creates. It's just, it's amazing to listen to. It's amazing to study. And of course, it's brilliant watching the movies with them. You raise a good point. Try watching any of these movies without the soundtrack.
I contend that John Williams, he's a contemporary. I contend this is classical music. People call it pops or film score. I don't think that makes it any less important or interesting.
No, of course. I mean, the use of the word pops or movie music, it's just a genre distinction. It's not like this is better or worse music. It's just different. I mean, it's different because it was played alongside a moving picture. I mean, listen, it's not I guess the main difference when you're writing a film score is that the main focus is to capture a mood, is to really bring the audience into the picture. And to do that, you're not held to the same, basically you don't have to be, you can borrow. Let's just put it that way. I mean, you don't have to be groundbreaking in every single bar. What you have to do is bring the audience in. So the music is excellent. Is it groundbreaking in every bar? Maybe not. But it's still every bit as exciting. It's every bit as much music. It's every bit as important. And it's so much fun to listen to. I cannot even begin to tell you how much fun this concert is going to be.
There are so many well-known scores of John Williams. How did you begin to narrow down to what you will have on the program?
Well, I mean, you've got, you have the, basically it was the most famous is what we started with. And then on top of that, you know, that probably filled up, I don't know, half an hour or 40 minutes. You know, you take just, the Imperial March from The Empire Strikes Back and the main theme from Star Wars, you know, the things that everybody knows. And then I started to get a little bit more in depth in his works and just see what are really the best. And that's where you get into the Olympics. That's where you get into the NBC Nightly News and something like that. Just really brilliant music. And so between the most famous and the best, and this is the best of a bunch of music that all of it is great. So I'm being really, really picky when I'm programming this concert. But that's really how I did it. You know, the most famous and the best, and you put those together. Of course, some of the most famous is the best.
Right.
Another reason to come to this concert, our subscription series are going on sale on Saturday.
There you go.
Yep, and if you want good tickets, you gotta get your subscription.
There you go. Thank you, Paul.
Thanks so much, Kyle. Great to be here.
Philip Glass's Heroes Symphony comes from the music of David Bowie and Brian Eno. He wrote the work in the 1990s. César Franck wrote his only major symphonic work, his Symphony in D minor, in 1888, and it was premiered in 1889, right before his death. Hi, I'm Katie Henriksen, host of the KUAF Sunday Symphony from 7 to 9 p.m. on KUAF Public Radio. Join me this Sunday for Philip Glass's Hero Symphony and César Franck's Symphony in D minor. That's coming up Sunday night from 7 to 9 p.m. on your source for classical music, KUAF, and also streaming online at KUAF.com.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grahader.
We are inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio, and we are pleased to have as guest Carter Sampson. Carter, welcome.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
And Caleb Rose.
How you doing?
Who said he was going to stay mostly quiet, but we're going to make him speak a little bit. Carter, a wonderful singer, songwriter, musician. Four CDs out, right?
Yeah. Three studio albums.
Three studio.
And a live one. I'm getting ready to think about doing a new one.
The most recent came out on 11-11-11.
It did.
Mockingbird Sing.
Yes.
And I have to ask you about an amazing song on that CD called Sanctuary.
Yes, thank you.
It's almost a perfect song.
Thank you.
Everything works.
Wow.
I love, in the song, the singer, you, the narrator, kind of lists things that would make for a life.
Yeah.
And I want a baby, a silver bullet trailer, garden, library, room full of guitars. Does this strike close to home? Is this Carter's?
Definitely. That's my wish list. Yeah, I was sitting out when I lived here in Fayetteville and just looking out the window. It was beautiful. We had a cow pasture behind us and I was thinking how lovely it was, but how much better it would be if I had all those things too. So, yeah.
It's an interesting song because it's upbeat, but it's also a bit, not melancholy, but a bit wistful because the singer is saying, I don't want to grow old here.
Right.
I want to do more.
Yeah, exactly. And that's how I feel. I love Fayetteville. I've really enjoyed my time here, but I'm kind of an adventurer. I love to travel and see things and explore new places. So, yeah.
Well, you mentioned the traveling. I read that you would perform in subways in Boston.
Yeah.
Were you living in Boston at the time?
I was. When I was in my early 20s, I moved to Boston and played in the subways. And it was a really interesting experience, A, because I was so young and really only knew about five songs, which was perfect because you had a new audience about every minute. So it was a great experience. It really was a good way to start playing in kind of a judgment-free zone. You know, if people didn't like you, they'd just move on. But if they did, they'd leave you money or a weird little note or, you know.
Why subway? That just seems like such a random place.
Yeah, well, you know, in bigger cities, that's just kind of the thing. Mm-hmm. And in Boston, pretty much every subway station, there is a performer of some sort. And just some crazy thing that I always wanted to do, and so I did it.
Does it mess with your acoustics very much in, like, that rounded area?
Yeah, and I had to learn, you know, to not play during game days. Like, if the Red Sox were playing, forget it, because when the game got out, it was just, you know, crazy drunk people flooding the subway station. And cold air, like, when the train would come through, it would rush this blast of cold air when it was the winter months. And so I made these little gloves that I cut the fingers off so I could still play guitar.
And that's the antithesis of playing someplace like the Blue Door in Oklahoma City, where the whole goal is people come in to hear you.
Yes, yes, which is a really amazing feeling. And I'm, you know, I've been noticing that things happen in the right time, at least they have for me. And, you know, when I was 21 and playing in the subways, I wasn't ready to play at the Blue Door yet and did just a few years later. But now it's a really great feeling to be able to walk into those places that I've admired and gone to see so many artists play in that now I get to play there. Makes it that much better.
The song Queen of Oklahoma.
Yes.
You name check Woody Guthrie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming it's Wanda Jackson.
It is Wanda Jackson, yeah.
As well as Will Rogers and Wiley Post.
Mm-hmm.
There's a there's quite an affection in that song for Oklahoma.
Yes.
So here you are, someone who likes adventure, but you still have...
Well, it's my home.
I know.
Yeah, it's where I was born and raised in Oklahoma City, and I am, I think, fifth or sixth generation Okie. And, my mama still lives there, my brother, and it'll always be a very special place to me. For sure. There's recently this new sense of pride in the city and really the whole state. Everybody walks around in their Okie t-shirts and their, you know, bumper stickers, and it's really neat.
Sounds somewhat similar to what's happening here.
Yeah, it really is. And I think because of that, you know, there's more music and there's more art and there's funkier stuff going on in both places. It's nice.
And I understand there's a lot of musicians in your family tree.
Yeah, there are. My dad plays guitar and pretty much taught me how to play. And my mom sings in the church choir and has my whole life. And my grandmother was a pianist, and I'm a cousin of Roy Orbison. And so, yeah, there's lots of music there. I'm lucky.
The song "Jesus Is Coming to Ohio" is one of the most ominous songs I've ever heard.
Sort of evil.
okay, I'm not misreading it.
Yeah, it's a true story. It's not. I promised my mom that anytime I played that song, I would tell people what it was about, because it's from my point of view, but it's not about my family. I heard. I think the TV was on in the other room, and it was the History Channel, and they were talking about cult leaders, and there was one small cult. I don't even remember the guy's name, but his main thing was that he was convinced that Jesus was coming to Ohio. And I heard that phrase, and I really put it down what I was doing. I said, that's a song. And so I wrote it it's based on a true story. I don't know all the details, but he moved in with a family. And it was fascinating to me because I've never been to Ohio, and I'm sure it's lovely. They have the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and who wouldn't want to go there? But why Ohio, out of all the places on the earth that Jesus would come to? I don't know. I'm going to have to go check it out.
Well, that song, every time I hear the beginning, it makes me think of dark storm clouds coming up. I mean, it's just nothing good's happening to the people in that song when you hear that blues riff. Nothing at all. And I'm also wondering, because the sound on the latest CD, Mockingbird Sing, which was released in late 2011, there's so much going on there. It sounds so good. Caleb, this is the one I want to bring you in, and because you've got the electric guitar going on in there, and you guys are working so well with the bass and the guitar. Recorded at East Hall. What was the process of getting ready to do that, to get all that sound together?
It's actually really interesting. The process for getting ready to do it was we all kind of got together in a room at East Hall and started practicing. We had, what, maybe two or three practices before we actually went in and started a roll tape.
Yeah.
And it's actually one of the first records that was cut at East Hall that was done on the new 2-inch analog tape machine there. And Chris Moore, who owns East Hall and plays bass on the record, wanted to try to do the record as live as possible. So we actually put Carter in the control room, and then myself, Chris, the bass player, and Jared Dunn on drums played out in the main room. And you know, we would go through the song four or five times each and take the best cut out of it. So it was actually one of the easiest records I've ever helped cut, because everything was just so seamless. And when you play with high quality musicians like Jared and Chris, then they make it a lot easier.
And it was on reel to reel?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Yeah.
The idea there, is it richer than digital?
I mean, without trying to sound like an audio snob, I guess, I think it does. I think that it's more, the term I always use, and I'm not sure it's the right adjective, is more organic.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're in the room with the recording instead of, you know, a bunch of ones and zeros that have been squashed down.
There's a lot of tricks in a studio these days that you can make anybody sound like anything, really. It's amazing, and I wanted to get as far away from that as possible. So there's no, all the drums are real drums, and all the vocals are real vocals. They're not auto-tuned, and that was important to me. It was great that it just kind of came together like that.
And you're heading back to the studio soon.
I'm thinking about it. Yeah. I think my next album is just going to be me and a guitar. It's something that I haven't done in a very long time. And, you know, I love playing with the guys. I love playing with the band, but I don't get to do it as often. You know, when I'm out on the road, it's pretty much solo or duo. So I'll often have people want to buy a CD, and they'll say, which one's the most like what you're doing right now? And I don't really have a great representation of that. I have one that I think is better because it has, you know, seven instruments and harmony vocals. But I'm going to get back to that just kind of raw singer-songwriter thing that is what drew me to music to begin with.
The RV is new?
The RV is brand new.
Do you have Dolly Parton on the dashboard?
I do.
Okay.
I do. Dashboard Dolly. She's been Velcroed with industrial strength Velcro to the dashboard.
If you follow Carter on Instagram, you see the different places you go.
And yeah.
With Think Big emblazoned on her.
Yes. Yeah.
Why Dolly?
I love Dolly. Kay. She's one of my...
I mean, why not? But
my favorites, yeah. Actually, my a good friend of mine bought me this little... it's a small bust of Dolly Parton, and it's real cartoonish and weird. She's big, big hair. And it says Think Big on it. And so my best friend gave it to me, and I just put it up in my dashboard because I thought it was funny. And now it's nice. It's nice to have that when I'm going on 3 hours of sleep and driving to a gig, to have her tell me to think big is helpful. It's good for photo opportunities.
Yeah. Should let people know your website is cartersampson.net.
Yes.
And you can find all sorts of things there, include a Queen of Oklahoma tote bag.
Yes. And we are releasing a Queen of Oklahoma music video this Friday, follow me on Facebook and Instagram, and you can also sign up for my mailing list at the website, and we'll get you linked up to it. It's really cool. I'm excited about it.
Just to let people know, May 24th, the Movie Lounge in Fort Smith. June 8th, Landry's New Orleans Cafe in Fort Smith. And June 9th, Krabby's back in Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to play a couple songs?
Yeah, I'd love to.
What are you going to play?
This is the first song off Mockingbird Sing. It's called Be My Wildwood Flower. Caleb's going to play and sing along, too.
Be my moon.
Carter Sampson, along with Caleb Rose, inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio. The song they played is titled Be My Wildwood Flower. You can find it on her CD, Mockingbird Sing. And just this morning, she released her new music video for her song, The Queen of Oklahoma. You can see it by going to her Facebook page. And again, you can learn far more about her and hear more of her music at cartersampson.net.
On this week's Generic Blues Show, still more new blues releases like Jimmy Vivino and the Black Italians, Papa Chubby, Arthur Big Boy Crudup, Peter Novelli, J.J. Gray and Mofro. Hear it this Friday night at 9 o'clock on the Generic Blues Show. We'll see you then.
Before we end this Friday edition of Ozarks Large, we have something to give away.
We do. We have some tickets for Rocklahoma, which is May 24th, 25th, and 26th in Oklahoma.
And whenever we do these giveaways, we walk down the hall to Rhonda Dillard's office. Rhonda, tell us about Rocklahoma.
Rocklahoma, classic music fans will love it. They have bands this year such as Guns N' Roses, GNR, more commonly known. Also, Cheap Trick, and Bush, and Alice in Chains, and I was actually very pleasantly surprised how many entries we had.
How many did we have? Do you know a number?
I don't. Well over 100, almost 150, I believe.
Okay, well, ready to pick a winner?
I am. I'm going to push the button on the computer, and it will pick the winners for us. And we're going to have four winners, by the way.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, two sets of tickets for each. So here we go. Picking, drum roll. Would you like to read the first one?
Sure. Our first winner is Susan Sago of Fort Smith.
The next one is Elizabeth Klein of Clinton, Arkansas.
Wow, Clinton, down there in North Central Arkansas.
Our third winner is June Easton of Eureka Springs. Congratulations.
Yes. And last but not least,
Lynn Tabera from Holiday Island.
Yay! Congratulations to everyone who did register.
I want to point out all four of our Rocklahoma winners are women.
Interesting.
And they're all from four different places.
Very interesting. Well, thanks to everyone. And of course, next week we'll be drawing for two tickets to the Wakarusa Music Festival on Mulberry Mountain, which is always extremely popular with our audience.
Still can enter for that.
Absolutely. Just go to KUF.com and you can enter for that. And also the Thunder on the Mountain, which this is their inaugural performance on Mulberry Mountain as well.
All right. Thank you. And we'll be in touch with the winners.
Absolutely. We'll get those today, and we'll probably get them in the mail. I'll probably stick them in the mail today, so they'll have a chance to receive them before next weekend.
Thank you, Rhonda.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Before we end the show, this news note. The law firm Carney Bates and Pulliam PLLC, based in Little Rock, has issued a letter this week to the Arkansas Department of Environmental Quality warning that an environmental assessment conducted for a new swine factory farm operating on the Buffalo River watershed in Newton County is, they say, riddled with significant errors. Writing on behalf of a coalition of Arkansas environmental groups, lawyer Hank Bates has asked ADEQ to withdraw the hog farm's operating permit immediately. Among other issues, the letter states that phosphorus-laden hog waste applied to nearby farm fields as fertilizer will impair the water quality of Big Creek. At recent public meetings about the farm with concerned citizens, ADEQ Director Teresa Marks said on the record that her agency would revoke, modify, or suspend the permit if problems were discovered. We will, of course, continue to cover this story.
Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation. KUAF is supported by Kumon Math and Reading Centers located in Fayetteville, Lowell, and Bentonville. Kumon offers learning for the long run, a path to become confident, independent, self-reliant people all parents hope their children can be. More information is available at kumon.com. This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Rogers, Fort Smith, Panama, Oklahoma.
And Panama, Oklahoma. I've been there. It's been a while, but that's not too far across the border.
Yeah, it's just north of Poto.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I believe that the Panama, Oklahoma High School mascot Razorbacks.
Really?
I think so. I'm almost positive that's the town that it's in LaFleur County, and I think it's the Razorbacks.
Well, very cool.
Yes.
Learned something new.
Sunday is the Block Street Party in Fayetteville. It's the third annual. Should be a big to-do, and I think the weather's going to be fine.
It looks nice, knock on wood.
Yes.
It looks good. It looks like a good weekend. Temperatures have finally warmed up, which is nice because I know we both have separately outdoor weddings to go to this weekend.
Yes, I'm headed to Mount Magazine.
Mm-hmm. I'm headed to Tulsa.
And it hopefully is a nice weekend.
Yeah, it seems like it'll be fun and that'll be good. And it's going to be a busy weekend still, even though we're not here. There's state tournament games for high school students.
Yes, all of the state championship baseball, softball, and soccer games are on the University of Arkansas campus. Mm-hmm. They started in the afternoon, go through tonight, and more games tomorrow, and I think tomorrow night.
I think that sounds right.
State baseball championships are at Baum Stadium because the Razorbacks are at Auburn finishing up the regular season.
Oh, that's right.
Lady Backyard hosts the softball championships. Razorback softball, by the way, in the NCAA regionals this weekend. Yes, and then the soccer matches are on the U of A campus as well.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So good luck to all of the teams. Stay safe, stay hydrated, and yes. Good luck.
Christina and I will be back Sunday morning at 9 for weekend Ozarks at Large. Then I will have the Monday edition of Ozarks at Large all by myself.
Big day.
Yes, it is.
Just saying.
Yeah. We're going to say any more? Just going to let it go?
I mean, I can.
It's okay, sure. I mean,
well, because it's your birthday.
It is.
So I'm just saying.
And it's a big one.
It's a big one. There's a zero on the end.
There is a zero on the end. And I've been okay with it so far, I think. I don't know.
So far, you think?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think you have much of a choice.
No.
It comes whether you want it or not.
It does. But saying...
Oh,
50
sure.
is different than saying I'm in my 40s.
Well, you should say it a lot this weekend so you can get it out of your system.
I'm about to be 50. I'm about to be
50. No. You can say that.
I'm in my 40s.
Yeah, because you can only say that for a couple more days.
Truthfully, yes, that is correct.
Yes, truthfully. Okay. I suppose you could fib a little bit, fudge the number.
That's right. Okay. Well, say I'm in my incredibly late 40s.
Yeah. But 50 is like the new 30, right?
That's what I say. That's what I say. Let's see. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. And for the next to last time in my 40s on this program, I'm Kyle Kellums.
My name is Antoinette Grahana.
Please be safe this weekend.
Have a good weekend, everybody.